The first thing I want to mention is about missions. And missions is all about working together. And we cannot do it alone. We cannot do it alone. It requires teamwork, real teamwork. And being part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, it is our passion and our purpose. And many of you might already know it, it's within our DNA to do missions and to go for the deeper life. These are the two things that we are known for. So we definitely covered your prayers and support. And to join you, invite you to be part of our team. So for today, my message is called, Be a Blessing to Others. Because many people shy away when they hear the word missions. Because they feel it's not for me. The call to missions has more to do with our heart, the condition of our heart, than where our feet are. So missions can be anywhere. It's more to do with being a blessing to others. That's what Abraham is being called to do. He's being called to bless others. And the difficulty really arises is how do we want to bless them without creating dependency? Not every one of us are called to go overseas, but every one of us are actually called to be a blessing to others. The scripture for today is Matthew 25, 14 to 30, and it's the parable of the talents. I'm sure many of you might be familiar with it, but I'll read it very quickly. Again, it's like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brothers and sisters, this parable talks about things that we should be doing in the transitional time as we are waiting for the return of Christ. The parable of the 10 virgins just before this parable reminds us that we need to keep watch because we do not know when the time is going to be. So have we as Christians been assigned something to do? I said definitely yes. world evangelization in fulfilling the Great Commission that's given to us in Matthew 28. Acts 1:8 also tells us where we need to go: to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then Matthew 24:14 tells us for how long. It says the gospel will be preached to the nation, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So why are we in Mexico City? Apart from the fact that it was a place that global ministries asked us to consider, and that the Holy Spirit also confirmed during a vision trip there, Mexico City is a place of spiritual darkness with many strongholds. There's the rising worship of Santa Muerte, which is the saint of the dead. And this is the saint of the dead here, Santa Muerte. There's also rising worship in the New Age mysticism, especially by the young people, those who are disenchanted with what's happening. We'll see the rise in Santa Muerte, especially in dangerous neighborhoods. The more dangerous the neighborhood, the more you will see Santa Muerte. Apart from that, you will see the Guadalupe, which is their standard worship. But Mexico City is also a place that is filled with corruption. There's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of homelessness. They have lots of social issues. Not to mention that it is one of the largest cities in the world that has less than 2% of its population that are followers of Christ. All this points to the need of the gospel in this area. And our work there is to plant churches. Our work there is to plant churches within this city. And that's what we are there to do, and that's what we would like to give you a bit of a report on as part of my message. In the scripture for today, this parable talks about the gain from investment. Verses 16 to 17, if we look back, tells us, the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. What is gain to God? What is gain to God? Is God really concerned about our money? I believe God is more concerned about the reconciliation of the lost. Jesus tells us about the joy in finding the lost in many other parables. The New Testament gives us many accounts of the feeding of the hungry, the giving of living water to the thirsty, the opening of the eyes to the truth of the blind, and the release of the prisoners from their bondage, not to mention the healing of the sick. So what really is the talent that Jesus is talking about here? In verse 15, it tells us that the talents were given out to each servant according to his ability. In other words, it cannot be referring to our natural ability or the talent as we understand the word today, because that's how we are already created and we already possess. We all have unique abilities in different portions. So what is a talent in this context? Let me say that since God has already given us a level of ability or natural talent, the talent here would refer to the opportunity and the risk to take through something supernatural. God is giving us an ability to use the ability that He's already given us. It is on top of what we were born with. And it's considered priceless. What is it that Jesus will give us when He left? John 16:7 tells us, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your own good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." What are we going to receive? The Holy Spirit. Earlier this week, I saw a story that reminded me of this parable. And some of you might have heard about a person named Tim Tebow. I don't know if anyone has ever heard of Tim Tebow. But he's a gifted athlete in football and baseball. And his natural talents allow him to play professional at a professional level. But one of the things that caught me is what he said. You know, he said, "Sports is still a game. There is more that I want to be known for. There's more that I want to be known for." He has a deeper calling in life to be known as a person who brings faith, hope, and love to people in their darker days. He's like what we call a five-talent person who says that sports is just the platform to be able to do what God has placed on his heart. Sports is a platform to use his abilities to share the gospel. So I would summarize a talent in this context as the opportunities and ability through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to use our natural abilities for the glory of God. That means it can be used anywhere. It doesn't have to be overseas. It can be right where we are. So what happened to the man who buried the one talent he received? It is obvious that he did not know his master and is called wicked and lazy. And what was the least expected of him was to put the money in the bank for interest. It says that the little that he had, the one talent, was also taken away. And he was called worthless and thrown into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's only one place that I know that is being described here. And I think you know that too. So brothers and sisters, the Lord equips us and provides for all that we need in doing His will. And this is what A.B. Simpson writes. We begin life with the natural. Next we come into the spiritual. But then, when we have truly received the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the natural is added to the spiritual, and we are able to receive the gifts of His providence and the blessings of life without becoming centered in them or allowing them to separate us from Him. So in other words, I believe A.B. Simpson is saying that when we receive the Holy Spirit and allow ourselves to be empowered and to live an empowered life, blessings will flow that just appear normal. It seems to us it might be just a fact of life that we're being blessed. But it's because we've received the Holy Spirit. So there are three things that I'd like to share with you from this parable. And I would like to use this as a platform about the work that we're doing in Mexico City. And how we are applying it within our mission context there. First, God will use us for however He made us if we are willing to put it to work for His gain. The second point is mentioned that God wants to be a blessing, us to be a blessing to others so that he can bless us more. And the third is God has a minimum expectation of how we should be living. So I hope that this sharing can stimulate other ideas within your own context, because we are just ordinary people like you with no special abilities. So here, but the only thing different is we are at a different location. So the first point I want to mention is God will use us for how he made us, if you're willing to use it for his gain. God does not need our money, right? But if it's something that you're good at making, it's what you do with it that counts. So you can be a financial supporter, for there's a great need for more funding, but turn it into a spiritual gift of giving. Make it a gift of giving, a spiritual gift of giving, not just a financial supporter. But apart from money, what can we call spiritual profit or gain? And this is our example of what this can look like. First, we can skip that. First is evangelism. That in itself is gain to God. And this picture here shows a park. And after 3 months of starting our ministry in Mexico City, we did prayer walking for 3 months, and then we decided on an area where we're going to start our ministry. And after 3 months, we came to this park, and we kind of started meeting families, and they're meeting the lost there. And this is just some of the basic things that, you know, we are doing. This park is right next to a central area, a large central market. And surrounding the central market is also the business areas. So it's like a central business district for this community. And this community here that we are looking at is actually called Doctores. Across the road from this community is another community called Obrera. And they have a different setup. Their streets, all the businesses are on the streets, and they have parallel streets like a grid system. So each community have their own way of setting up. And typically, people don't normally cross into one other community other than maybe coming to the park, because Obrera side doesn't have a park. So that's some of you might have heard, if you've seen any of our newsletters in the past, mention Obrera Project. And this park here has become what we call our ministry center. It's a natural ministry center on our fishing pond. The next thing that we can do that is obvious gain to God is worship. Exalt him. God is looking for worshipers. So the more worshipers we bring, the more people is coming to Christ, that is gain. And as we gather the families together, we encourage them to worship with us together, to learn about who Christ is. And we do all this inside different homes. So we're starting up what we call different home churches. And here we have about 3 or 4 families that will gather. And this happened to be a short-term mission team that was visiting us, and they were leading worship. We sang in English, we sang in Spanish, and we sang in Chinese. It's amazing. But that is what the heavenly worship is going to be like. You will understand it in whatever language. So we don't have to be shy about not speaking Spanish if you're hesitant about visiting Mexico City, or speaking Italian if you want to go in Europe or any other language. One of the things that we've been doing is endurance, and that's patience, and that's ministry. And for 2 years, we were at this park. For 2 years, we were at this park every Saturday. Every Saturday between roughly 11 to 1. And here is where we have programs for the kids. And the reason why we're doing some of these programs is because as we prayer walk in the neighborhoods, we also look at their needs. What is it that they need? And we try to fit a need, but also we try to understand their culture, is how can we use things in their culture and in their context. And here, yes, this was a day that we were doing, it was Valentine's Day, and they were, you know, making hearts and little gifts in marshmallow gifts or something for the moms. But at the same time, on each one of those little skewers, there's a Bible verse that's stuck onto those skewers. And that Bible verse is a Bible verse for that particular event that tells them about the love of Christ. But one of the things that's very important that we also may know a little bit of the Catholic tradition is that they like to save little relics. They like to save things. So the same idea is that when the kids make a craft, just as parents will keep your kids' craft, we put a Bible verse and they will not throw it away. They keep it because for them, they can't just throw it in a garbage. It has a Bible verse. So that's understanding the context, but understanding the need. And that's what we're doing every week in the park. Here's another picture of the same park ministry. But one thing that's amazing is that, and we happened to mention it today, as you know, with some of the Sunday school teams, is that for the 2 years that we were there, there wasn't a single rainout day. Do you know that Mexico City actually has rain? Yeah. But God is amazing. The rain will all end before we set up our table, or it will start after we've packed up. But it has never rained when we're doing our ministry in the park. Anyone who has visited us and asked, can we come and visit you? Come any Saturday. You know it's rainy season. It hasn't rained when we're doing ministry, right? And I'm not sure. I think Kim was visited us, but whether she actually was there. No, on a Saturday, you were there on a Saturday, but we never had rain. Didn't matter if it's rainy season. So in a way, you know, if we are doing what pleases God, I believe God will bless that ministry. Another way that is gained to God is when we encourage. Anytime you can encourage people and you care for them, that is gained because people are coming deeper into the faith. They can understand more. And for many of our families, just by visiting them, they are amazed because they normally don't receive visitors. If you're quite familiar with their culture, they are very untrustworthy of each other. Let me put it that way. Apart from family, other people don't normally visit their homes. And because another part is their homes are very, very small. They would rather read outside, so they're not very proud of their homes. But when they invite you and you accept an invitation to their home, they see you as someone special. But at the same time, is how do we encourage them? We also talk about ourselves, the struggles that we are going through as a Christian. Because that's some of the stories that they want to know. Why are they going through some of the spiritual battles? There's one family that we know of that from the time they accepted Christ, Satan hasn't released them every single week. If anyone has seen our some of our newsletters, every single week there is something going on. Is it the kids are sick? Is it they've lost their job? Is it they're not getting paid? To the point even the fact that the father was murdered. What? And yet, as we are walking with them, encouraging them, they are staying with their faith because it's for real. And the more we can encourage them, the more it's going to be gain for God. The second thing that God wants us to do is to be a blessing to others so that he can bless us more. If you notice some of the examples that I'm showing you down here, it has nothing to do with any extraordinary talents that we have. Isn't that right? We are just doing normal things that you'll do every single day. Just doing it in Mexico City. But it didn't start there. We spent 2 years, many of you may have known us, or see, if you've ever been to Toronto Alliance, we spent 2 years at Toronto Alliance ministering to the marginalized, ministering to the people in Parkdale, the Tibetans, the Muslims, the Hindus. We have to learn. And the more we are comfortable with doing it within our own environment, then we can go overseas. You know, I've heard stories about people. You know, there was a story that I heard, and there was this student who said, "Oh, God has put a call on my heart to minister to Chinese." And then she was talking to a pastor and said, "Do you know there's a Chinese community, you know, another group of Chinese students right on campus, on the other side of campus. How do you expect God going to call you to go to China when you can't even walk across the campus?" This is what we need to start doing, is just practicing our gifts. And this is no special gift. God has given us all the ability to do these things, but the difference might be is the filling of the Holy Spirit. How much is the Spirit really pushing you to do these things? And that's some of the talent. I mentioned about Tim Tebow. You know, he kind of make it very, very rich if he wanted to, but he is willing to sacrifice that because he had something else in his mind and his heart. The millions is helpful, but that's not what he's after. That's why he's willing to be moved around, or people, you know, don't want to have him simply because he's trying to exercise his own faith. So how can we bless others? It's, you know, if we look at the verses that we just read, verses 21 and 23, it's the same. The person with the two talent and the person with the five talent didn't receive anything extra. And neither of any one of us can receive anything extra. There's just one reward for everyone. Doesn't matter what ability is being given. There's only one reward, and it's the same. Isn't it amazing that God wants us to share in his happiness, and he wants us to be blessed in abundance? But that's what God has for us as we go out and share his word. And these are some of the things that we've been doing. Again, how can we bless the Mexicans? God has put in our heart to bless the Mexicans. Betty, my wife, is a wonderful cook. And if anyone knows us, you'll see on our Facebook or anything, all about cooking and all about meals and dishes. So at the same time, we invite a lot of the locals, the Mexicans, to come and share a meal with us at home. And at the same time, when we go outside, we will meet with other pastors and invite them. Will you organize a group of people that, you know, we'd like to meet and we can encourage? Didn't matter where. Here we're cooking in the backyard, in the dirt. This is in Chiapas. But it's just the platform. You know, I mentioned the word platform. It's just a platform to use the cooking of Betty to bring the people together and talk to them about Christ. Because now you are not in a church. You're out in a more like a neutral area for them. You are in their comfort zone. And they're willing to talk. They're willing to be open. Another thing that we can bless people is very, very simple things. When I visited a home, They had no flushing toilet. They've been living like that for I don't know how many years. And all that needed to change was a little valve on the tank. They wrapped it up, and the water stopped flowing. I changed a valve for less than a dollar. But it's just that they don't know how, and they got used to it, and it just stays down there. So for about 3-4 years or however long, they've never had a flushing toilet. Here, a family didn't have a kitchen sink for several years and years. They never had a kitchen sink. And we had a team that come down, and we said, anyone here can do a little bit of plumbing? Can we put in a kitchen sink and bless this family with a kitchen sink? It costs about less than $50. But it's just a blessing that we went into the family. Another family, the windows don't have any glass pane. It does get cold in Mexico City, I can tell you that. It does get cold, and there's no heat. So you have to depend on the windows are properly closed. There's no double pane, but at least it must be closed or properly sealed. We changed about 2 dozen window panes in this house at less than a dollar a piece. And the next time we visited, it was so warm that they have to open the doors so that the air can come back in now. But that's all we wanted. That's a blessing, that we're blessing a family by simple, simple things that we can do. And here, we're not doing a project. We're not doing a renovation project. We're not reconstructing. We're leaving them where they are, but we just want to help them improve their life a little bit. So we can become a blessing to anyone if we are willing to do it. And it's not tasks that we can't do ourselves. Because many of us love to go to Home Depot and Lowe's and those places. I know, at least for me, you know, most of the guys, we can hang around down there and just look at things all day. Tools, you know. And another thing that we can bless the young people down there, English is something universal. It's a universal language. And everyone knows that if you can understand and communicate in English, you have a better opportunity for the future. And the young people under this tent down here, they're part of a program that the city has to encourage the young people to stay in school by giving them life skills, etc. Because the neighborhood that we are working in, the chance of any of them going maybe into college is very remote, much less university. But they have to encourage them because otherwise they become delinquents on the streets. And simple, by simple communicating with them, we just spend the time talking to them in English because they're doing English in their classes, but they never practice it and they never use it, so they lose it. You know, Kim was there on this particular Saturday event that we took this picture. And she can tell you that she prayed for every one of them that particular day. They will tell us, you know, some of the things that they're troubled with. And she prayed for them in English. But at least, you know, they can still understand. They can listen to you. And they know that we are there to help them. Again, this is the children now. This is on a different side of the same park that we are looking at. This is the community children, and it was summer when we had a team come down, and this is a team from the Chinese church, and we're teaching them English. Because the majority of us speak English, even in the Chinese church. The majority of them can speak some English. And they know enough that they can teach them vocabulary. They know enough that they can teach them standard communications. So this is just blessing the young people down there, blessing the children, blessing the youths. And we also have another group that I don't have a picture of up here, that we also bless the young adults, the university students. Because as they go through their workplace, they suddenly realize that they need to communicate more in English. And we are there to bless them, and they don't mind fellowshipping with us. And we actually, in our university group, we actually study the Bible in English together. How can we also bless them? Again, we bless them by caring for them. We go visit their homes, and we care for them. And this is all simple ways that we've been able to bless the people in Mexico City. It didn't take any extraordinary effort, but the only thing is the willingness to go and do it. And we can do it right wherever we are. We do not have to be overseas. Another thing that we do is whenever we have a team come down to, we invite the members to come and share with the families. And again, this is just to share about your Christian life. We just ask people, can you, tell them, what is God doing in your life? Is there anything that you want to be thankful, you're thankful for? Let them hear about the struggles that, we go through in normal life. Being a Christian is not a done deal. And unfortunately, that's some of the things that the beliefs that we have that challenges us. In many of the churches, some of the Mexicans, when they get baptized, you don't see them again. Because some of them feel that, once they've got baptized, okay, I'm good now, I'm saved, I'm done. I don't need to come back to church. Those are some of the teachings that we are kind of trying to help them with. So, one of the biggest things that we know about that we can bless someone else is by praying for them. And this here is that we invite a lot of prayer walking teams. Some teams, we want to come and do something. Can we build a house? Can we, build a shed or build a school or build something? So, if you're just willing to come and walk, that's fine with us too. Because prayers is the foundation for all our ministry. Prayers is the foundation, and we invite teams to come down. We don't have to necessarily be that big construction project that we're gonna do. Because we're just looking at it as how can we bless this area. And as we're talking about prayer walking and prayers, I can tell you is that we've been in that park for 2 years. If you see what it was from the first time we went to that park to what it is today, it's night and day. Because every Saturday, we pray a walk around that park. Just as Joshua and Jericho, we pray a walk around that park. In that park, there are 5 fountains that some of our families who've lived there their entire life, over about 25 to 30 years, said, I have never seen that fountain work. The first year that we started our ministry down there, one started working. We were there. I was there. And you could see the amount of brown dirt and things just coming out the fountain, right? And yeah, it worked for about 50 minutes, and then it got clogged up. But at least, it was coming to life. Last December, we wrote an article in the Connection book. It's then the first time I saw all 5 fountains working. I took a picture, and it's in our Connection magazine, Is it just by coincidence or God doing something down there? Roberto is a young person that's one of the families that joined us. And he says, in my lifetime, I've never seen those fountains work. He's about 30-something. Or he can't remember the last time he ever seen those fountains work. And of course, he take a picture of it with his son and so on. But, these are things God is doing. I speak to the policeman right next to where the canopy is with the young people. That's a police substation. I ask the police, have you noticed anything different in the last 2 years? And he himself says, this place looks more vibrant. The people look happier. Of course, it's brighter because a lot the whole park is a lot brighter. The light has come. And he himself, he's not a Christian, but we've gotten to know him because he is one of them. And this is another amazing story about prayers, is that we came to this park and we asked, you know, is there a place, can we do ministry down there? Well, he said, you're not allowed down here, not allowed down there, because you need a permit. You can't just go in a public place and do ministry. But he said, so is there a place then that we can do ministry? He said, well, you see that spot down there next to the playground? You're okay. You don't need a permit to be down there. Why is the playground so important? Because we are trying to reach families with young kids. God answered prayers because they give us a spot. Not we asked for it. They give us a spot next to the playground so we can get to meet the families with the young kids who come to the playground. So while the kids are doing their arts and crafts, etc., the parents are sitting on the bench around or standing around, and we will talk to them. Prayers work. And we can give you many testimonies about the prayers. So prayer walking is very, very important. So prayer walking, we pray because we ask for healing of the land. And we are seeing the healing of the land in this particular area, in this community. But Mexico City is a city of over 25 million, remember? This community is only a few thousand people. This is what we are asking for more prayers. Finally, God has a minimum expectation of what we should be doing as a true believer. According to the parable, the minimum expected was interest. So that one talent is to be received and do his good works. That's the interest. It's just as long as we receive that one talent, and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, God is getting interest. And what is that interest? It's just our missional living. Just live a good Christian life. It says, you should have put my money on deposit with a banker so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. That's the minimum that God is looking for us. So, in other words, if we bury it, we're not going to get interest. You have to receive it. You have to accept it. This is what I believe is minimum expected as a Christian. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers of mine, you did for me. These verses are not from another part of the Bible. These verses come right after this parable. So it kind of gives us an idea when Jesus is telling what is he expected to do while you're waiting for his return, here's something to do. And I must say thank you for all those who joined from Ritson Road that went down to Toronto Lions every first Saturday of the month when we were there. I'm sorry, but you know, we're not at Toronto Lions, so I don't know, you know, what's if that is still going on. Well, there you go. You know, this is what you guys are doing already. But those that go every Saturday or every month probably tell you, you know, we can probably do it a few more hands here and there, don't you? We can always do it a few more extra hands. This is what God is asking us as a minimum. Can we feed someone? Can we give them a few extra clothes if we have clothes? And by the way, I still remember a story about shoes. I know some of you probably have any heard a story about shoes on Ritson Road on a Saturday night? It was Rudy. There was a homeless guy who was looking for a pair of shoes that a particular Saturday night when they came to Toronto Lions. And we said, well, you know, Pastor Bill said, well, we can just pray about it. And guess what? Someone showed up and gave him a pair of shoes that very night, off his feet. So I must say thank you. You know, these are some of the things that the people come and they didn't come expecting it. But, you know, we pray about it and we say, well, you know, what will happen? Is it coincidence? We might say it's coincidence, but no. That's how God works. And we can bless someone. Doesn't matter if it's a shoe. He didn't care if it's a new shoe or an old, a used shoe. He just needed a pair of shoes to walk with. And it's actually amazing. And that's why I said thank you, you know, on behalf of Toronto Lions, because Toronto Lions has changed the way we've done our ministry. And if you see everything about our ministry that we've been doing in Mexico City, it's kind of a roll off of what we've done. So this is an example of what we've been doing in Mexico City. As the families come to faith, we've been teaching them stewardship. The ones in the yellow t-shirts were some of the families that had signed up to join us. The ones, some of them that just wanted to join didn't have the yellow t-shirts. But did you know that even though these families are poor and have very little, we actually packed about 250 lunch kits to give out. I had bought about 200 juice boxes and I kept it in my car and I didn't need to take it out because I said, okay, as long as they can do it themselves, I'm not going to pitch in. We didn't have to put in a dime out of our ministry money because the families, as they became blessed and they start seeing their faith and how God is working, they want to share with their own community. They might be broken people, but they realize that they might be better off than other broken people on the streets. And here, they're walking around with it. Some of them have the plastic bags, and inside are the sandwiches that we hand out because the area we're working in is called Doctores, is because it has a lot of hospitals. That's the area for doctors and doctores. And so they would just walk around the neighborhood, and they pray for the people on the streets and give out the sandwiches to those that need it, especially the ones from out of town who just sit outside the hospital all day because when one family member is sick, the whole family comes into town. And when they don't have money, they'll come to the park and sit at the park, and that's how we've met many of them from Durango and Veracruz and all of different parts of Mexico because they have nowhere else to go. So this is the way that God is asking us as a minimum. Can we bless them in one way or the other? It don't have to be everything. Just pick one. Maybe a cloth, maybe a meal, or maybe visit someone. Brothers and sisters, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. But the good news is that the harvest is right here. So if going overseas is an obstacle, then it's not no longer an obstacle. They're coming right here. So can we become a blessing to them, to the families that are lost, the families that are looking for something to start with? God wants us to be a blessing to others here, there, and everywhere. And he wants us to draw them into his love so he can bless us more. So if you're a 2 or 5 talent person, I'm sure God is calling you to do more and to demonstrate your faith by going farther afield. Because at the end of it, I think all of us want to hear the words that Jesus said. Well done, good and faithful servant. So let's do it together. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to share. I pray that you will speak to each one of us here individually to what you are calling us to do and how to respond. You know our hearts and the number of talents that we possess. And by faith, we may want to seek even more. But give us the courage, the boldness, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to act on it. There is no greater need than now. And the timing is in your hands. So mobilize us for your glory. I pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.